Soy goals. United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Did you get your taxes in on time? I just made it. I really pushed it off for as long as I could because I knew that I was going to owe something, but I made it. I will not be incurring any fines, but I hope for most of you, you got a return instead of having to pay. But we're now, it seems like a prime opportunity to talk about taxes and tax reform and income taxes. And here to join and give his thoughts on all of those things, returning champion, CJ Safer, president
thank you so much.
Of Institute for Reforming Government. We're so happy to have you back. How are you doing?
Great. Happy tax week. Happy post-Bucks victory.
I know. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big weekend. They need to take care of the Heat quickly.
Yeah.
And they need to get Giannis back. So I'm
optimistic. Has there been enough? Is it just a deep bruise? There's no break or anything like that. So it's just kind of letting him feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fine. I mean, they should be able to take care of Miami in five.
But. Yeah. Well, we all saw his knee extend in the opposite direction it's supposed to go, and he came back like 3 games later. So
right, he's not
the freak
he's
alive
built,
and well.
He's not built like you and me.
No, he's built of like Laffy Taffy.
He's not me.
Yeah, speak for yourself, CJ.
Sorry.
So this is a big one of the main policy issues that Institute IRG works on, and so I guess. To start off kind of with the present moment of we're in budget negotiations, and I think just yesterday I saw a headline. I did not read the article, 4.5 flat tax proposal that just came out this week. So as far as kind of like laying the foundation for where we are right now when it comes to income taxes in Wisconsin.
Yeah, sure. So at IRG, what we want is we want Wisconsin to be the best in the Midwest to raise a family, to grow a business. And we believe that that means having the best tax structure in the Midwest. And we'll talk about that later. Right now, where state government is we're still sitting on a $7 billion surplus. We talked about it a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's continued to grow. It's still unprecedented. It's not going to probably happen again in our lifetimes for a number of reasons. The state government's just sitting on billions of dollars. And so you have a conversation between the Republican-led legislature and the governor's office about how are we going to spend that money in the state budget process. So Governor Tony Evers went first through his state budget that he released in February. He proposed a 10% cut to those that are making $100,000 or less.
Is that single? And then what was it for couples?
Couples was like 120.
Okay.
So 10% cut, look, I mean, that's going to be about hundreds of dollars, right? Maybe I think the average was like $200, still a tax cut. He also had repealing the personal property tax, which is taxes on personal property for businesses, which we support. And he also has some research and development tax credits. He also then, to pay for some of that, he goes and decreases tax credits for manufacturers, which effectively would raise their taxes.
Is that for the manufacturing and agriculture credit?
That's the manufacturing
credit?
And agriculture tax credit. The majority leader, Lemieux, in the state Senate came next, and he proposed a 3.2% flat tax. What that means is everyone would pay about a 3.2% rate, and then you put on top of deductions and tax credits on top of that. Wisconsin has a graduated income tax. So essentially you start out paying around like 4% and it kind of the rate gradually increases with the more money that you make. So Majority Leader Lemieux is saying, what we want to do is simplify it. We want the whole, you can do your taxes on a postcard, right? Everyone pays the exact same rate. Then you do credits and deductions. The Assembly, they have been a little bit, we just want to cut taxes to the greatest extent possible, more so than last budget. And recently there was State Representative John Mocco proposed a plan to essentially take Wisconsin's complicated graduated income tax structure and break it down to only two rates. So you're either going to pay 0% or you're going to pay 4.5%. So, and that's kind of where the discussions are. You know, your guess is as good as mine of what's going to happen next, but it's a lot of backroom dealing. The state legislature, the Joint Finance Committee is going to have to produce a plan, and then they'll send it to the governor's desk sometime in June, where the governor will either line item veto, send it back to him, or sign it.
We're talking to CJ Safer, who is the president of Institute for Reforming Government, about taxes. Super, super riveting stuff. I think it's super interesting.
It's important stuff.
It is really important. And it is, it's something, it's literally death and taxes, right? It's something that we all have to deal with in one way or another. And so as far as when, because you kind of set it up as far as IRG's stance on what would make Wisconsin the best when it comes to taxes for families in Wisconsin. And I would say, like, you probably know a lot more about taxes than I do. I feel like I know enough as far as like a heavy news consumer, but I'm not like a tax policy expert. But I think that, like, I come from this conversation of being like, yes, personally, not having to pay taxes would be great. Did I like having to write a check this last week? No, it was not great. But I also come from it of knowing that, like, it's the cost of living in a society where there's public goods, there's services, there's resources, there's a social safety net. And so, like, coming from understanding different states that don't have any income tax, there's different things that supplement that. And so I guess, what does best mean when you look at what that could mean for Wisconsin? Like, what does best look like?
Yeah, so what we would want, what we have proposed is, look, we think that when you take a step back, yes, I agree with everything that you just said, but when you take a step back, we are in a time where money is flowing to where it can be used best. Businesses, families, manufacturers, corporations, they're all going across the country where income tax rates are lowest. This has kind of been the biggest story in the last 5 years, the last decade. You're seeing all these people moving from California, moving from New York, to states like Arizona that has a very low flat tax, states like Florida that have no income tax, states like Texas. In 2021, this is IRS numbers, the state of Texas gained about 60 new companies in 2021 alone. There were 20 of those companies were from California. I mean, and you know, I've been to California, I've been to Texas, both great states. It can't be about weather. You're right. Weather is something. There is a lot of factors that are involved, but there's something happening with taxes. There's something happening now where, in this era of post-COVID, everything is so much more mobile than it's ever been before. Families, jobs. And when I look at what's been happening in California, you see this great migration of companies out, of businesses out. Tesla, Hewlett-Packard, all moving to, like, Texas. To me, and to what I think a lot of policy people, that's showing us that something is happening with tax rates. I think when you look at Wisconsin, we have a real opportunity to be the first state in the, even I would say the greater Midwest, to take our tax rate from this graduated rate, which tops off at 7%, take it all the way down to zero.
And my first pushback on the comparison to Texas is, Texas has one thing that we don't have, which is a lot of oil, right? Isn't that how they basically supplement a lot of their tax revenue, with a natural resource that we don't have? And I don't know for Florida, I was trying to look it up this morning and then I ran out of time. As far as the, like, I would imagine it's a lot of tourism. Not that Wisconsin doesn't have a lot of tourism, but as far as, it's not always apples to apples of other ways that states that have low to no income tax make up for that lost revenue that may or may not be possible in Wisconsin.
Everyone's got something, right? You know, you got Tennessee, you got Washington, right? So there is something there. You got to use the natural resources that you have. You got to use the advantages that you have. But I think when you look, but I would say when you survey the states, there is something happening, right? Mm-hmm. Arkansas with the new governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I mean, she came out flat out, right? She said Arkansas is going to be a 0% tax state. She first signed a bill to take the income tax down to 2% as low as possible, with the goal of getting it to like zero. These are difficult decisions. There's no question. And there's decisions that have to go of, well, how do you balance the budget? Mm-hmm. Do you cut spending? Do you raise taxes elsewhere to kind of offset? These are all things that we've implored policymakers to like look at. We've done it ourselves. But we think that it's important that Wisconsin is the best in the Midwest for taxes, because I think that's what's going to bring the most jobs, the most families, and the most businesses to the state of Wisconsin.
How much time do we have left, Jane?
We've got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
CJ, I have a question. Arkansas doesn't rank very well in all kinds of things that we measure as far as health outcomes and education and poverty rates. And aren't we going to have to let this play out for a little bit to see how that is going to affect the state?
Oh, sure. No question. And look, I'm not going to sit here and be an expert of all things Arkansas. My point of that was that, look, there is just a number of states. I mean, I'll throw Mississippi in there too. But look, I mean, I'm going to sit here and also say, like, geez, like, are people happy with Wisconsin government right now? And this is kind of something that...
But that's right? Not because of taxes.
Like, no, it's not. But those two things go together, right? I mean, you look at... I mean, we have jails that were built before Alcatraz. Our roads are terrible. In our schools, you know, kids can't read in Wisconsin schools. Black kids are reading better in Mississippi of all states than Wisconsin. So when IRG comes out and says, here's our plan to get rid of the income tax, it's also saying here's our plan to just completely restructure Wisconsin state government, because I think it really needs it.
Well, that is a big proclamation to make. We only have 8 minutes when we come back, unless you want to stick around longer, because I feel like there's a lot to dive into there. Because I also, when we come back from the break, I tagged you in the video that kind of is a joke, but also real, is like, how do we not do what Kansas did? That was a debacle when they tried to kind of upend and use trickle-down economics for their income tax. So a lot more to discuss. Stick with us. Our guest is CJ Safer from Institute for Reforming Government, and this is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are talking to CJ Safer, who is the president of Institute for Reforming Government. And we're talking about taxes, and we're talking about what taxes in Wisconsin could look like reimagined from what we have been doing, and the pros, cons of doing that. And so before we went to break, CJ, you kind of said a lot of things that I think we can agree on as things that feel broken in Wisconsin, whether it's some of our school systems, some of how we fund things that like the roads and all this stuff. But I think going back, and then you said that at least with IRG, some of the policy that you've looked into is a potential way to both cut income taxes at least, and still fix some of these other problems, which to me sounds like magic. And so I'd like to hear more of like, how does that look? Because a lot of those things, it seemingly, logically feels like they would need money to in order to fix them and allocate to them.
So first off, we have to start off with the appreciation that when you talk about individual income tax, we talked about how people pay into it. We talked about how people, you know, generally want to live in places where they don't have to pay as much in taxes. But in Wisconsin, 90% of small businesses pay the income tax. So 90% of small businesses, and we've always talked about how small businesses are like the backbone mm-hmm. of society, the backbone of communities. And what we found out when we've talked to a number of businesses, Kathy Schumann, who owns a great place called Delicious in Appleton.
Good name.
Jesse Adams from Adams Electric. These are companies that told us that, look, yeah, if we can eliminate the income tax, that results in bigger paychecks for our employees. That results in us hiring more people. We like that because then that's more money that then goes into people's pockets that they then turn around and they go spend in their own communities. So it kind of will kind of revitalize a number of communities across the country or across the state. What we proposed is getting rid of the income tax, increase the sales tax from 5 to 8% across the state. And then that would, according to economists at the University of Wisconsin, Crow, the Center for Research on the Wisconsin Economy, Crow's economists estimated that that would produce about $1 to $2 billion of new revenue through all the economic growth. So, and that's kind
just
of going—
Just by switching. So basically what we lose in income tax, if you just made a 3% increase on the sales tax based on what it currently is— It would be an increase in tax revenue.
It would be because it would result in more people moving to the state, more companies
so
coming to Wisconsin.
So there's one piece that is an unknown as far as what it would do the population. So it's not based off the numbers of the people who currently live here.
And sure, and I appreciate it's like an economic model, which is not the most fun thing to talk about in a gray Thursday morning, but I think it matters conceptually if you think about it, because that goes back to what we talked about, which is, you know, what we've seen from California, from businesses in California moving to Texas. And when you kind of look at whether you're a barbershop owner in the north side of Milwaukee, whether you own your Adams Electric or you own a donut shop in Appleton, you know, these small businesses, they want tax relief. So then they can then go and whether it's, you know, participate in hiring more people or increasing wages, so then they can be the best business, but then also they can have the best employees.
Has there been examples where this has worked that feels analogous to Wisconsin's size industries? Like, we pointed out Arkansas feels culturally different. I don't know how much our economies and stuff feel similar. It's only a recent move, so maybe it hasn't been long enough. Because, like, I threw out the Kansas thing, and I don't know how similar what they did almost 10 years ago is to what you just proposed. But basically what I understand it to be is they kind of upended their income tax, and it was disastrous. And so is there examples that you can point to where it's been a good thing and it has led, besides Florida and Texas and Arizona— to like the population increase and businesses moving there to like some of the other, I hate this term, but flyover states.
Well, sure. I mean, we can talk about Kansas too. I mean, Kansas is always, you know, it was as soon as we proposed this plan, a number of people from progressive groups, you know, come out and they bring the Kansas experiment. And the Kansas issue is going to basically anyone who works in tax reform, as soon as they put out some sort of study, knows that there's
Kansas
something on
come
Kansas
up.
Coming, whether it makes sense or not. The problem with the Kansas experiment is it's a different state. It's unique. They didn't, in my opinion, tackle spending. They didn't plan for a rainy day. They didn't have a surplus, certainly not one of $7 billion. So they weren't able to kind of gradually phase anything in. They went for like immediately. They didn't give it like the glide path that I think realistically, when you take things from like a policy shop to practice, you know, you're gonna have to phase things mm-hmm. in. You know, you can't do it. It's very, very hard to do, whether it's the flat tax or whether it's going to zero tax. It takes, you have to phase it in over a number of years. There's, you know, Wisconsin, there's not a lot of examples of states that have been able to do this within a few years span. There is examples of states like North Carolina, states like Arizona, that have gone from a, you know, graduated income tax structure to bringing the rates down to a flat or eventually zero. What states are doing now is they're saying, let's do it in 4 years, let's do it in 8 years, and let's put that all into state law. So we'll be able to get a lot of good evidence on those states in the not-so-distant future.
All right, well, CJ's going to stick around because he doesn't have a hard stop, so we're going to keep this conversation going. If you have any questions or comments about the topic at hand, 844-967-2789. We'll take a break and be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to CJ Safer, president of Institute for Reforming Government. We're talking about taxes and what either a flat tax or maybe even no income tax in Wisconsin could look like. And you had finished talking about how Arizona and North Carolina had implemented this over the last 10 years, or when was that shift started for them?
Six for North Carolina.
And so your argument is basically by doing this, it will attract more businesses and potentially population of people who will want to come to Wisconsin because there's less taxes.
My biggest argument is I want Wisconsin policymakers to think big and present a bold vision of how Wisconsin can be the best in the Midwest. And we think that, you know, I think that elected leaders, I think not only is it a good political issue, but it's also a good policy one to say things like they're doing in other states is this is where we want to take Wisconsin. And, you know, as far as taxes go, I'm not quite sure what Governor Tony Evers, if he didn't have a legislature, where he would go.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one big thing that Wisconsin has lacked. And that's what we're trying to fill and say, look, like, you know, you should think big. Wisconsin should try to be the best. I mean, we have so much going for our state. The fact that we have stagnant growth for jobs, stagnant population growth at best. The fact that, you know, we have issues with schools and issues with small businesses, we just don't accept that should be a fact of life in Wisconsin. We think that tax policy matters. When you look at, you know, the migration of people from states like New York and states like California to states like Arizona, Texas, I think that's a signal that we see that tax policy is a major factor for decisions of where to send money.
And it's interesting because as someone who lived in both California and New York, and literally until I moved back, for me, coming back to Wisconsin was like a tax reprieve, right? for most of my adult life until 2020, only knew what it was like to pay almost half my paycheck in taxes. And it was just...
It was just what you did.
It was just
right?
The cost of doing business, yep. Right? Like, I wanted to live in San Francisco. I wanted to live in Manhattan, and you just did it. And so when I got back to Wisconsin, I was like, oh, this is like half the cost. But I say that as I think there's also baked into some of the it's because cost of living is also part of that mm-hmm. is taxes. And like cost of living in New York, cost of living in San Francisco, cost of living in Los Angeles. I just got back from Los Angeles, like. It's hard to get a cocktail there for less than $20, right? And so there is some of that's just baked into wanting to go to places that are more affordable to live, which I understand part of that is also paying less in taxes so that you have more money. But it's like also just the cost of things that it'll be interesting for some places in Texas and Florida as they get more popular, like Dallas,
mm-hmm.
if that gets more expensive and if people get priced out of living there because it just like classic supply and demand, right?
Yeah, Austin certainly is more expensive now than it was a decade or two decades ago. And look, I think a part of it is changing. You know, I think there's forks in the road on a number of sides, right? Like, I think, you know, we want conservative lawmakers, but we want all lawmakers to think big and try to enact a vision every single year. We certainly think that, look, I mean, I would say, you know, I think this is a bipartisan issue. There's been polling that we've done that have shown that a majority of the state is in favor of transformational tax reform, which includes about a third of Democrats. We've seen things like Governor Jared Polis in Colorado. Mm-hmm. He says he wants to get rid of the state's income tax. Now he would then probably spend more or try to spend more than what I would recommend. But you know, they had a gubernatorial debate in Colorado last year where they both agreed to get rid of the income tax. It was like one of the greatest debates I've personally ever seen. I was like, that is my goal in life. But I think it is something where I would say when I look at the Democratic Party of, you know, where do they want to go? Right. Because yeah. I do think that there are very serious demographic shifts that we've seen. It's showing up in the census, and there's a number of reasons for it. But, you know, states like California, as you said, I mean, they can't keep doing the population decline that they've been having. And look, I mean, you know, Tesla leaving is a big deal.
Yeah.
And what I would say to your listeners, it's not so much of like, you know, owning Elon Musk or Elon Musk leaving.
What was the quote from this morning?
It was an unscheduled disassembly when Elon's rocket went kaplooey. Right. Unscheduled disassembly. I love that.
Right. And I know, I'm sure there's some people in California that are thrilled that Elon Musk left. I think that plays well mostly in the ivory towers of Berkeley. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, people appreciate that when there's businesses or corporations in your backyard, that's people that are moving. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those are high income earners. They're going to spend money at your stores. They're going to spend money at your restaurants. That's going to kind of just keep on recycling through your entire community, which is why we're trying to work with policymakers to enact some sort of long-term vision in Wisconsin that's going to make us the best in the Midwest.
Well, and I think, and then I want to get to some text because Jane just said we have some, but like, you know, you look no further than Madison, right? Like I grew up in Madison and Epic was not there. Mm-hmm. Epic has changed Madison as far as the young adults who are not just college students, but actually like young professionals who are living there. Granted, I've heard it's a little bit of a, you grind it out there and it's not necessarily getting people to stay in Madison because it's a pretty intense workspace, but like having the right company be an attractor. And I've said the same thing about Milwaukee. Like we're one big, cool company away from having it be a destination for college graduates all over the country from saying, that's on my top five of places I move after college because of this company. And so like, I totally get that. And so we're talking to CJ Safer. He's from the Institute for Reforming Government. And we have some texts that let's see what the text line is saying.
844-967-2789. You can call and or text. From the 715, CJ, how is this any different from trickle-down economics, where if we let business owners keep more money, they'll obviously spend it in a way that grows the economy? Also, income taxes have no effect on employment because businesses get to deduct all of their payroll expenses. So how would cutting income taxes result in more hiring?
Well, look, I mean, I would say we would fundamentally have a philosophical disagreement, especially what I would say when you look at the top rates in Wisconsin of 7.6%. So the most successful small businesses, and we're not talking about manufacturers. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the 90% of small businesses that pay only predominantly the individual income tax.
They don't get like any of the credits that are available, basically.
Yeah. So they right now pay 7.6%. And if for them to go from 7.6% to 0%, I mean, geez, like all I'll say is my experience talking to small business owners and you know, to a T, I mean, they would say that results, I mean, they want to use that extra money with what can be most successful for that company. And we think that what can be successful for that small business is successful for the community, whether it's hiring more people, whether it's increasing wages, whether it's just investing or just giving back into the community. Certainly one thing that, you know, I passionately believe in is charitable giving. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, we've seen from time and time again, if people have more money, they're more likely to be more charitable and give money to their churches or give money to their favorite local nonprofit or civil society organization. So I would have a philosophical disagreement because I think that shift from 7% all the way down to zero, or in Majority Leader Lemahieu's case, down to 3%, I do think that that would be transformational.
844-967-2789 if you want to join the conversation. We have Gary from Sussex on the phone with a question for CJ. Gary, what do you want to ask?
Well, this morning when I was listening on the radio, they were talking about the Biden administration is going to be putting fees on people who pay good, have good credit. So my credit is 875.
Cool.
So what they want to do is they want to help pay for. So what I would be, they would be putting a fee on for me, which would be like $40. At the end of the year, it's like $500. And at the end of the loan, it's going to be somewhere around about $14,400 from what I read when I went online, looked at it. So what they want to do is they want to take people that have good credit, cover for people who don't have good credit, and they're going to, not finish their loan, and, they're going to foreclose on their loan. So I don't think it's fair. And what do you think about it?
Yeah. I hadn't heard about this. And so have you heard about this?
Yeah. I mean, across the wires this morning, certainly something that, I would say is terribly concerning. Certainly something that, I personally would want to always be concerned with how much power we give Washington, D.C. But I think that kind of goes back to the point that, I've been trying to hammer home probably too much, is that, we do want a small government that is efficient, that spends taxpayer money wisely. And something that just concerns me is just how big government's gotten, both in DC and in Wisconsin, and how I would always put out, Gary, that big government doesn't necessarily translate to good government.
Which, thanks for the call, Gary, by the way. And I think it, because I feel like sometimes when it comes to the tax conversation, and this is maybe just purely ideological without tons of evidence that at least from in this conversation right now I can pull to, but sometimes it feels like the trade-offs between taxes and paying less in taxes for everybody comes at the expense of poor and working class people ultimately have less of a social safety net. It feels like that's usually what the trade-off becomes. And so do you feel like there is a way to do this where the most vulnerable aren't the most exploited and don't kind of get the short end of the stick and left out to dry while still bringing benefits?
Well, I mean, there's no question that we have to take care of those that are needy. That's why a lot of us, prefer that we want a trampoline for social safety nets, one where, if you fall down on your luck due to no fault of your own, you have the ability to get back up. Because I think that's what the American dream is all about. And we would put out that it is incredibly concerning. I think, when you look at some of those states that don't have those strong, safety nets. And I mean, I think these are issues that I think we would push back and tell policymakers, it's not mutually exclusive. And we can do both. Wisconsin, Medicaid, we don't really have much of a coverage gap. We've put out there some reforms to Medicaid that have predominantly been taking advantage of the exchanges. But I think, it's a fair something that you would want policymakers to take care of. And we would just put out that we don't think those ideas are mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. It just depends on, getting into the policymaking room and making smart decisions.
Because especially with the Medicaid thing, and we talk about small businesses, and we only have 2 minutes left, so I know we can't get into this too deeply, but like talking to small businesses who can't afford to provide healthcare for their people, but then their people don't want to take on more hours because they give up so many benefits. It's such a cliff for BadgerCare of getting a promotion, taking on more hours, like any of those things, they're going to make too much money. And so what they lose in benefits isn't worth the promotion that they get. And so it's like all of these policy things as far as cliffs. And so it's not necessarily a trampoline where like you can kind of ease your way off of the help that you were getting. It's like an all or nothing for so many of these programs where it doesn't really incentivize you to get better and back on your feet versus like it's scary to get back into like getting none of the benefits.
We're going to talk about the cost of healthcare because I thought you said there was like a minute left. No, no, I would agree.
I shouldn't open this box. We do have to let it go, but we want to come back soon and we can talk about healthcare,
increasing access and lowering costs. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, CJ Safer, it's always so fun to have you here. This was it's really informative, and so can't wait to have you back.
Appreciate it.
And when we come back, three headlines and a lie. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Definitely wasn't the right.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. How'd you feel about our conversation with CJ?
It's always so interesting. He's so knowledgeable.
He's so knowledgeable. That's why even when we said we were going to talk taxes, I was like, I hope I can hold my own. I certainly know some, but it's not my main gig. And so, but I just think it's, you know, sometimes I think we get so entrenched in our camp of our way of thinking about taxes and you know, the... to do this is that, and to do that is this. And sometimes to think about like, all right, but maybe it's not mutually exclusive, but what does that actually look like?
Right.
So we'll see what the next topic, maybe we'll do Medicare when he comes back. And that
would be great.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah, it really would be interesting. And I do just want to say, and I understand from a business standpoint that, you know, companies want to move where the tax burden is low, but a couple of the states that he mentioned, you couldn't pay me to move there.
I know.
You could not pay me to move to Texas. You could not pay me to move to Florida. Never, ever, ever.
And it's interesting to think of, like we've talked about this in the past. When was that? As far as the political environment for some people in Texas and Florida. And like, will that, if that continues down that path, is that a motivator to leave? Right?
Right.
With like, if they're like, I can't, despite the tax benefits, despite the weather, I don't want to live in this climate where the kind of the cultural issues are what they are. And so I just think it'll be interesting in like 10 years from now, if there's another shift for only other reason. Also, just if places start to get too hot,
there's
also
too.
The climate change stuff as far as like parts of Florida being underwater, Arizona being, I mean, this was only a couple of years ago where Arizona, it was so hot, they couldn't even fly a plane.
Well, and look at what just happened in Texas. You've got the freezing, the power grid, the flooding, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next decade.
Yeah. Well, he's always very fun to talk to.
He is. He's great.
All right. Well, it's that time of the week where we are going to play the game we like to call three headlines and a lie. It's very straightforward. It's where three of these headlines are real, one is a lie. Jane gets to pick which one is the lie.
Okay.
All right. So, number one, sorry we dissolved your son in acid, mafia bosses tell parents.
They apologize for aciding someone?
Yep. Sorry we dissolved your son in acid, mafia bosses tell parents.
Okay.
That's number one.
Wow.
Number two, Black bear breaks into vehicle, guzzles 69 cans of pop.
Oh, jeez. A fizzy bear.
A fizzy bear. Instead of cocaine bear, it's fizzy bear. All right. That's number two.
I like that one.
Number three, topical. Cocaine worth nearly $440 million found floating in the sea off of Italy.
This
happens. A lot of cocaine.
Yes, and that does happen.
Also, one of Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippos recently died.
Oh.
That is a true headline. I just read that this week. All right, and finally, man sues brewery for using his photo on can of beer called Bald Guy Brew.
Oh. Gosh, I want that to be true.
Speaking of Bald Guy Brew and beers, Chris Drosner will be here at 1:30 today for our monthly beer, Wisconsin beer update. We'll ask him. We'll have to ask him if he thinks that one's true or not. But all right, so let's run through them.
Give me a recap.
Run through them again. Okay. Number one, sorry we dissolved your son in acid, mafia bosses tell parents. Number two, black bear breaks into vehicle, guzzles 69 cans of pop. Number three, cocaine worth nearly $440 million found floating in the sea off of Italy. And four, man sues brewery for using his photo on a can of beer called Bald Guy Brew.
They're all really good.
They're very good.
They are really good.
And three of them are real.
I know. I believe the fizzy bear. I think that's true.
Okay.
I believe the bald guy beer.
Okay.
I don't think the mafia ever apologizes whether they dissolve you or not.
Interesting. Okay.
So I think that one is the lie.
That one is real.
The mafia apologized for disintegrating someone?
Yes, it is behind a paywall, so I can't read that much in it. But this is from The Times in the UK. And the headline says, sorry we dissolved your son in acid. Mafia bosses tell parents. Gangsters offer £60,000 and an apartment in compensation for family's loss.
What?
I wonder. Oh, now I wish I could get behind this paywall and figure out more behind this story. Because I feel like, isn't by apologizing and now that they're writing about it in an article, isn't that admitting guilt?
Kind of. Unless we just accidentally dropped him in a vat of acid.
Like,
we
didn't, oh, sorry about that lime.
Didn't mean to do that. How embarrassing.
All right. So that one's real. So what's your second guess?
Again, I'm sticking with Fizzy Bear because I believe that's true. And the Bald Guy Beer. So which one was left?
Cocaine worth $440 million.
Then I'll go with the Bald Guy Beer as a lie.
That's right. That one's a lie.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one's a lie. But the Black Bear, not cocaine, but soda, guzzles 69 cans of pop. And this was in British Columbia. And a bear devoured can after can, but stopped at diet soda.
See, even bears have standards. Oh. Like, that just tastes bad.
And they have some pictures of the aftermath, and it's just kind of clawed its way in.
What a mess.
Yeah.
Did you see the footage of the guy who was in North Carolina on his deck?
No.
He's just on his deck, and he's scrolling on his phone, and this big black bear walks up, and they scared each other.
They scared each other.
They scared each other. The guy looked at the bear, and the bear looked at the guy and was like, yay! Yeah. It was crazy.
Whoop, whoop, boing.
Whoop, 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 boing.
And then, yes, cocaine worth nearly $440 million found floating in the sea of Italy. And it is just a bunch of little boxes floating and full of cocaine. So
somebody's missing a shipment somewhere.
Yeah. What do they actually do when they confiscate that many drugs? It just sits in. Because can you destroy it? You just like light it on fire?
I would imagine that's assuming that they're getting rid of it.
Which we know they're probably not.
Wait, they may not.
All right. Well, when we come back from the top of the hour, we are going to be talking to Jessa Damas, who is the executive director of Skills USA Wisconsin, which is having their conference next week, April 25th to April 26th at the Alliance Center in Madison. So we're going to talk about what Skills USA does, what you can expect from the conference. And then at 1:30, we're talking to Chris Drosner, editor of Milwaukee Magazine, and also the Beer Baron column for Wisconsin State Journal. So stick around for that. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.